Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I doubt if there are four better safeties in all of football right now that are playing a better brand of football than Kareem Jackson. I don't know what Houston saw or didn't see in him, but that dude is a straight baller. And trust me, in the land of great safeties that we've had around here, all the way from Billy Thompson to Steve Atwater, Dennis Smith, John Lynch, but this guy profiles like Brian Dawkins. This guy profiles like all the great safeties that have ever played here.
That was Big Al Williams on with the afternoon show with Clint Sterner earlier this week. And he, of course, a radio personality up in Denver, a native Houstonian, a two-time Super Bowl champion himself.
He actually comes – well, now he works for a different company. He used to come in here and do his show from Houston sometimes.
Yeah.
He was visiting his family here.
That's right.
So, but now he works for the enemy.
He does.
So he works for a news station. They brought him in to do like a sports show on a news station
yes.
in Denver. Big experiment.
That's right. That's right. That's a big compliment.
I know. That's like
a lot of pressure.
He's a dynamic personality.
He, as you can
as
tell,
you can hear, yeah.
And he is a big Kareem Jackson fan.
Yes.
Top four safety in the league, Seth.
But it was more than that. It was that he's one of the best safeties that's ever played for Denver.
He lines up with all the he rattled off Steve Atwater and
right.
Smith and
when you start
Steve Atwater's a borderline Hall of Famer.
Right. And Dawkins, I mean when you start mentioning those names, that's even better than top
Dawkins is a Hall of
that's
Famer.
That's better than top four in the league right now.
Yeah.
So that's I feel like he might have been trolling us a little bit.
Okay.
I think Kareem's playing well. And he's made the transitions to safety just fine, as we would have expected. And I think it's unfortunate in Houston, he played a bunch of safety over the last few years, but never made the complete and total transition because they kept needing him back at cornerback.
Yeah.
Because everybody got injured all the time.
Yeah. Here's Romeo Crennel yesterday when he was asked about Kareem Jackson. What are his memories of Kareem Jackson?
He was the versatility. He had versatility. He played corner and played star for us. And particularly at the star, you have to get into the running game. And he was able to get in there and wasn't afraid to throw his body in there and things like that. So that's what I remember about him.
Much more measured than Big Al, Romeo Crennel.
Why didn't you ask him if he's one of the best that's ever played?
I probably should have followed up.
I was going to go on Alfred's show. I was supposed to go on Alfred's show last night.
Okay.
And they canceled, by the way, with 10 minutes, 10 minutes beforehand.
They canceled with you?
They canceled.
Did they know who the hell you are?
I was a guy who was arranging my evening around being sure I was in a quiet place at 5 p.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
And then I got canned.
I don't know what.
I got probably they probably had like the animal expert coming on or something, you know.
How'd you wash away your sorrows?
I don't know. By an Uber driver that talked too much. I was
red meat.
I was planning on doing the interview while I was Ubering up to the to dinner with my brother.
Oh, okay.
But you have the option now on Uber where you can choose no conversation.
And you
I
do?
Yeah, and I cannot bring myself to do it. Even though I desperately want no conversation.
Do you feel like a jerk if you do that?
Yeah. I mean, because there's times I love talking to my Uber drivers when I'm in the mood to talk, but there's other times where I want to be, especially like when I'm trying to do show prep and I've only got limited amount of time because I go to bed early. Like this half hour ride, I really need to do some stuff, but I'm too damn soft to just tell the guy to shut up. So anyway, I'm just thinking about the top safeties in the league right now, like, am I going to put Kareem above? Would I rather have Kareem or Minka Fitzpatrick?
Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Let's see. Who else would I think of? Like Jimmy Ward, I suppose, maybe? You could make a case that Jamal Adams. Would I rather have Kareem or Jamal Adams?
Jamal Adams.
Right. So,
yeah.
Jamal. So, all right. Let's see. What about... who else am I missing? Harrison Smith? Is he still...
he's with the Vikings.
I'm trying to get down
to... He's not playing to the level of his contract, but I think I'd rather have Harrison Smith.
I guess Malik Hooker, maybe?
I'd rather have Malik Hooker when he's healthy, yes.
So I think I think Alfred's trying to tweak us a little bit by saying he's a top four safety in the league.
We're just looking at it through Bronco-colored glasses and like...
Because he does do all those things that he... Alfred was saying Kareem does. He does.
Yes.
And he's playing well. It's just he's not the high impact top four type of safety that Alfred's described.
Here's all I care about, Seth, is did the Texans get it right with Kareem Jackson? Yeah. I don't care about where Kareem stacks up against the other four or five, top five, top 10, whatever safeties it is. If Kareem Jackson goes to Denver and plays really, really well and is a Pro Bowler this year, and as long as when they play the Texans on Sunday, he doesn't get an interception and nine tackles or whatever, then I'm fine with that. I like Kareem Jackson. He was a great Houston. I don't want to throw the word great around as a player, but he was an all-time Houston Texan. This is a short history in this franchise, and he was here for half of it, and he played at a fairly high level for that. So he's one of the top 20 or 30 players in the history of this franchise. All I care about is did the Texans get the decision to basically not offer Kareem Jackson a contract? He wound up getting $11 million a year from the Broncos. Mm-hmm. Did they get it right by instead relying on Justin Reed and signing Tashaun Gibson to a three-year, $22 million contract?
Yeah, and I think at least part of it, too, is the specific matchups with tight ends. I think they might have just felt better about Tashaun Gibson. At that price tag, too. There was a lot that went into it. So when Alfred says, I don't see what the Texans didn't see in Kareem, the Texans love Kareem Jackson, and I think it was just one of those things where the match wasn't going to be right for the price he was going to command. Plus, they have this issue of they were becoming a rapidly aging secondary.
Yeah,
and I almost had a rapidly aging defense. Not really, but JJ is getting up there in years, obviously.
And Whitney, yeah.
I mean, JJ at this point, you might as well consider him a 15-year player, but a 15-year player wouldn't be as effective when he's healthy as JJ is. Yep. JJ is so effective when he's healthy.
He was healthy. He was effective this year when he was healthy.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but it's just with the propensity for injuries, I think you had to get younger in the secondary. Yeah. So they did that.
Yeah. So I don't have a big problem with the Texans letting Kareem Jackson walk. I don't. I'm happy for him that he's having success. I would say he's the second best cornerback in the history of this team behind Jonathan Joseph. I don't think he's a Ring of Honor guy eventually or anything like that. Never made a Pro Bowl. But he was
Did
a really
he never
good.
Never make a Pro Bowl?
Never made a Pro Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that surprises me. Oh, that's a shame. Especially when the team.
Maybe he'll make it this year if Alfred Williams is handling the voting.
Yeah, I'm just surprised. Sometimes just by virtue of being on a good defense, and some of those years where they had a very good defense and he had come into his own as a cornerback, it's hard to make it as a cornerback.
Well, and Jonathan Joseph was busy making it as a cornerback for the Texans back then. So tough to send two cornerbacks from the same team to the Pro Bowl. Rare that happens. The Peloton thing, the Peloton story from yesterday, if you missed it yesterday, Seth had a tweet that was mixed into a Reuters story about the Peloton ad, where the Peloton ad that's getting a lot of heat from various corners, largely of social media, saying that it's sexist and dystopian, that a woman who got a Peloton from her husband in the commercial, and the commercial is basically her chronicling all of her Peloton journeys via video, where she's got a completely frightened look on her face the whole time.
Yeah, it was weird. And I think a lot of people agree with me on this. It's her fault. Yeah. The reason the commercial rubs people the wrong way, a lot of people think like, oh, this was obviously approved by some jerk man executive. I think the commercial would be just fine, except the woman looks petrified the entire time. So it's the actress, it's her actual acting that made this commercial rub people the wrong way.
I thought about you saying that last night, and I thought to myself as I rewatched the Reuters video roughly 20 more times and laughed every time I watched it. And we'll play.
I made a joke tweet, but they took it and made it super serious.
Go ahead, Jonesy. You got it. This is Seth's tweet as read by a serious news narrator.
Another said, I'd ask that woman in the Peloton commercial to blink twice if she needs help, but her husband already Botoxed her eyelids for her birthday.
There you go. Yeah. So,
because her husband, and the way the commercial comes off, her husband might be like this psychotic, hard to please guy.
Right. Yeah. Very controlling.
Yeah.
So, as I was thinking about your assessment of her thespian chops, I thought to myself, is this woman ever going to get another job in acting again?
She'll I think always in a horror movie.
She'll always.
Like she looked petrified and terrified all the time.
She did do that
time.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Either that or she could definitely do well as like some kind of character that takes any kind of news. Any kind of news, like immediately thinking of the downside.
Okay.
Like, oh, I got into the college of my dreams. Oh, no, people are going to hate me.
So
there.
There's a spot for her.
Yeah.
She was just miscast.
Yeah, she needs to play, like, she's hyper tense. She's always in fight or flight mode this
gotcha,
woman.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So I do wonder how that actress feels this week, like thinking, God, am I always going to be thought of as the Peloton,
One. Lady.
But it sounds like what you're saying is she deserves to feel that way.
She'll be typecast into the role to which she's suited, which okay. is to look petrified all the time.
Okay, well, there are
or
spots
for that.
Or
desperate to please.
Yeah, well, there are spots for that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best tweet that I've seen other than Seth's in response to all this was from Jane Slater of the NFL Network.
Oh.
You want to read this here?
Yeah, that poor woman.
Jane Slater, who based out of Dallas, I think, covers the Cowboys for the NFL Network. Said this, an ex-boyfriend once got me a Fitbit for Christmas. I loved it. We synced up, motivated each other. Didn't hate it until he was unaccounted for at 4 a.m. and his physical activity levels were spiking on the app. Yep. Sad face emoji. Wish the story wasn't real.
So it was, he was either up for a early morning, like my first question would be, was he a Marine?
Yeah.
Maybe he was out for his morning 5 mile run or
maybe
something.
Maybe he's a morning radio host who has to do all of his exercise at four in the morning.
Sounds like that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
He was putting in a good hard 7 to 8 minutes.
It sounds like he's the biggest dummy of all time or he was trying to get caught.
Or he was drunk.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of times people say, how did you get caught? How could you be so dumb? Like, well, because the thing that led to the cheating was a whole lot of drinking.
Yeah.
And I wasn't covering my tracks.
I know this is going to sound crazy. I've never had a Fitbit before.
Yeah.
I know you look at me and you go, really, Sean? No way. No, I've never had a Fitbit before.
You, Shawnee?
Is that something you wear all the time to keep track of steps and everything
you
like
can,
that?
You can, and it keeps track of your sleep, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I keep mine on pretty much all the time.
Oh, so Jonesy's got one. Jonesy's pointing it is. Okay, so it's logical that you would have it on all day.
Yeah.
But you would, if you were of right mind, you would go, I think I'm going to take it off here for the next, 90 seconds
right.
or so, or however long it takes you.
But do you interrupt the passion? You're like, no, baby. And plus, you want, Sean, you want the steps.
It's 250 calories.
Sean, you don't understand. Sometimes you'll get caught without your Fitbit on.
Yeah,
and you'll be like,
true.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. These steps aren't counting. So I'm thinking, he was thinking like, well, some of this rhythm is going to get logged as steps. And as it should be, this is exercise.
It's a very modern way to get caught doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Apple phone seems to destroy some marriages. Not to blame the Apple phone for discovering the marital malfeasance, but you know, text messages sometimes go to everybody in your family.
There's a lot documented.
I'll tell you what, like it's bad enough if somebody sends something and it goes to your wife, but what if it goes to your kids? Sometimes there'll be an update and all of a sudden it changes your settings to where all, and it doesn't happen as much anymore. It used to be like, it seemed like every time there was an iOS update, all of a sudden everybody in my family would be getting my text. I'd get my wife's text.
Really?
So I'm like, yeah, it was really weird.
How did that happen?
It's because Steve Jobs wants everybody to get exposed for everything all the time.
Wow.
that was his dying wish. everybody's expose everybody's life to everybody.
Everybody's business.
There will be no secrets amongst family members.
The only thing I share with my kids is the Apple Music membership.
Yeah.
And passwords to some things. Mm-hmm. You know, they're starving college
and
students.
Netflix and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. HBO Go? Do they have HBO Go?
They do. I'm a pretty good parent, aren't I?
Jeez.
I'm all over the age of 20.
Can I be adopted, Sean?
Sure.
Yeah.
I could use a dependent come tax time.
Why don't you give them Disney Plus, too? I know they're a little old for it, but you got the Mandalorian and everything.
Guess what they got this week? Disney Plus. Yeah. All right. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you, 713-572-4610. Some of these texts coming in are really, really funny. At 8:35 today, we are reprising the Circle of Trust concept. It has been requested that we form into the final month of the season, a Texans Circle of Trust.
There was,
Astros throughout the playoffs.
The story I was going to tell you about is one of the things I was going through in my head. It was like, I'm going to be sure I don't accidentally divulge too many details here.
Okay.
It was, I'll say this, it is relevant to a Circle of Trust. It was three guys I know who were on a group text together. They're good friends. I was not one of the people on this group text. Thank God, because I wouldn't want to be in this situation. But my one friend that is telling this story is the guy that's not involved. His one friend, let's call him friend A, sends out a picture on this group text that they were always on together of like, hey, he took a snapshot of something happening. Some guy was crossing the street, looked all funny, sent it to both of them. And the other guy, let's call him guy B, noticed on the screenshot that he, what was it? He took a picture and then took a screenshot of the picture or something. Okay. Somehow it was on there that he was talking to guy A, was currently on the phone with guy B's wife.
No.
When he took the picture. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
So, and it was, and apparently now, as far as everything buddy knows, no, nothing was going on, et cetera.
I was planning a surprise party for you with her.
So that was one of the sloppiest ways I've ever heard of it. At least allegations being thrown out.
Oh my
God. Yeah.
The screen grab reveal.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet this happens a lot. I bet the screen, having a picture on your phone, aside from taking like dirty pictures and those getting discovered, I bet a whole lot of times people take photos so liberally now that they probably do take a picture and like, oh wait, by the way, some woman's, you know, underwear in the corner of the room and you didn't even realize it or something.
Yeah, no, that's just text misfires.
Yeah.
We had a text misfire earlier in the show. Now it was business related.
I almost got somebody fired.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Because
somebody texted the wrong number to me and I got involved in their business.
That's right. Guy earlier texted looking for some valve order that whoever he was texting hadn't fulfilled. And Seth basically told the guy to go to hell.
Yeah.
Go get your own valves.
Yeah.
And then he corrected it very quickly and didn't get anybody fired. And the guy he texted it to said, LOL, love the show. But still, these are in response to Jane Slater of the NFL Network tweeting about how her ex-boyfriend, essentially she caught her ex-boyfriend in an affair because she and he were in a Fitbit sharing relationship, Jane and her boyfriend, and the guy didn't take his Fitbit off while he was having sex with another woman.
This wasn't somebody getting caught in a high-tech fashion, but he said he was drunk in college and his girlfriend walked in on him while he was involved with some girl.
Yeah.
And he said, the best thing I could come up with to say was, but she has an ugly face. Just like while he's hooking up with this other woman. You know what? His girlfriend has to appreciate and respect the fact that he went all in right in that moment. He showed his commitment to his girlfriend by completely and totally severing forever any relationship with this girl.
By insulting the other woman.
Right? And then he told his girlfriend, so just leave. I'll be done in about 3 minutes.
That's
then we'll
right.
come out. We'll
I'll
talk.
Be thinking of you while I'm doing this. Yeah. It wasn't cheating. This is a text message. It wasn't cheating, but once during a particularly energetic and vocal daytime dalliance, great word, I inadvertently answered a call on my Apple Watch. A female district attorney was calling me about a case. I didn't realize for several seconds until I heard her voice saying, hello, hello, what's going on?
Oh, geez.
Definitely lots of female passion was heard. I finally reached down, hung up, took off the watch, all without pause.
Let's see.
Pretty smooth move.
Away at college, girlfriend was going to another college 10 hours away. Got caught cheating because the girl I slept with took the promise ring my girlfriend gave me and posted a picture on Facebook.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Dude.
So this girl he was cheating on his girlfriend with took the picture of her ring and flaunted it on Facebook. He still ended up marrying the girlfriend.
Wow.
He doesn't say if he's still married or not, though.
That's incredible.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what happens in college. People, I've met a lot of married people who are still married to their high school or college boyfriend or girlfriend. And it's amazing. They kind of talk about like, stuff happened in college, but whatever, you get over it. And then maybe they broke up for a while. They get back together.
Yeah,
everything.
You mature.
There's always, people make mistakes, everybody. Don't be so judgmental all the time.
Text message. Had been cheating for years without getting caught. Was a master at covering my tracks. Deleted all texts. Always had a contingency. Sorry to account for my moves. My wife's phone went for a swim, so I let her borrow my BlackBerry to look something up, confident that I had password restrictions on certain aspects of my phone. My mother called me, cussing me out the next day. Turns out I forgot to log out of my secret secondary email that I coordinated my dirt with, kept receipt from my conquest, got sloppy/comfortable, and earned a divorce.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't, there's so many ways to get upended, I guess. If you're, and then when you throw alcohol into the mix, it's easy to get real sloppy real fast.
Yep.
That's where I knew a guy once, I knew a player once that had, I don't know if he could pull it off in this digital age, This guy was, he had issues. Like, he had serial issues to where he had, at any given time, he might have three girlfriends who all thought that they were his exclusive girlfriend. And so it wasn't like he was had a girlfriend, was cheating on her with another one that kind of knew the deal or whatever. They all thought that they were his exclusive girlfriend. And each one of them thought that any of these other women were complete psychotic whack jobs that were after him. He was diabolical to the point where I got kind of uncomfortable even being around him, because I'm like, what else are you deciding? How are you deceiving? Like, and he was a clean freak. Like, he'd be cleaning all the time. And I think that was part of kind of his obsessiveness about always being sure.
This is a college friend of yours?
Is, in the NFL.
In the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was crazy. Diabolical. Impressive.
That's interesting. No, very impressive. Was he a good-looking guy?
He was. Okay. He was. Yeah, and but that's why I would say, too, he had some kind of psychological need to be in a relationship, I think.
Okay.
And to have...
Like, or three.
Right. It was... No, it was... Because it wasn't like I've got a girl on the side or something. It was right. He needed to be in these relationships and needed each of these women to feel like he was devoted to them and everything. And they all thought he was an awesome boyfriend. It was very... Now, I only knew at surface level because I kept my damn distance.
Right.
I don't want to know any of this. When people... I don't want... Like, as a player, Matt Stevens, the safety, first taught me this.
Yeah.
He's like, dude... This is one thing you don't want to know anybody's business when it comes to like them cheating on anybody or anything, like, cause that's a whole, you enter into a whole world of drama that you don't want to know about. Yeah. So he taught me, he's like, whenever anybody starts talking about it and they're like cheating on their girlfriend, he's like, listen, bro, I'm never going to be the guy that dimes you out or anything, but I also don't want to be in positions where I've got to sit there and lie. You get put in that uncomfortable position where all of a sudden you gotta create your own web of lies to cover for somebody. I just want to be ignorant so I don't have to cover.
It's like
anybody.
Mob stuff. You never like, if you witness a hit, you're like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Now I'm in on this.
Yeah, exactly.
I've watched
like,
it.
I can't
tell me. I don't
want to
hear anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I have plausible deniability.
What's that? If you witness a mob murder, I think that's probably the most important thing to let people know immediately, right? Is that like, I'll never talk, right?
If I would imagine.
I mean, in the old days. Nowadays, I don't think anybody trusts anybody because they all talk. I was talking to one of our listeners who's a vice cop, and he said it's just fascinating because the people turn on each other. It gets to the point where you're going to go away to jail and everything. And he said it's crazy because sometimes, when it's all of a sudden, it's like the one person in the world that this guy trusts, it turns out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy's been informing on you for 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
And, it's a dicey. I talked to this guy. It was before game 6 of the World Series, actually. He's probably listening right now. He was describing the life of a drug dealer in such a way that I feel like he should go do the scared straight stuff to kids, because it sounds like a level of stress that I would never want for any amount of money.
Yeah.
The stress of being a drug dealer and, like, never, it's the one thing to be worried about the law, but then also you can't trust anybody. You can't trust your closest relations because at some point the cops are going to be coming to them and threatening them. Kids, if you're listening, I swear to God, sometimes I joke when I talk to the kids, there is no amount of money that is worth that level of stress.
No.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. No. And the stress level of the fact that your competitors will shoot you in the head.
That part too.
Without even thinking about it.
You're going to get Hernandez.
Kids, go watch Breaking Bad. Go watch all 5 seasons of Breaking Bad this weekend. Accurate.
But this is the problem. I think when you watch Breaking Bad and you're a kid, it's like any kid. When you're 18 years old, the danger is alluring.
Yeah.
And you ignore all the like very serious drawbacks. Then you watch, like when I watch war movies when I was 18, you're like, yeah, hell yeah.
I'm going to be a soldier.
And you watch them when you're 40,
yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, this is awful.
Right.
This is the most tragic thing that ever happened.
Right.
But it's the same movie, you know?
Yep. All right, speaking of trust, we will reprise it. You wanted it. We did the Astros Circle of Trust during the playoffs. We will do, heading into December, the home stretch, the Texans Circle of Trust. We will construct it next. All right, it is Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610.
I want to say we were just discussing various ways that people got caught cheating on their girlfriends or spouses or ex-wives.
Some of these texts are amazing.
One of our listeners, who I know is when I feel good about it? Because what are we talking about? We're talking about human fallibility.
Yes.
We're not getting like down in the dumpster or anything here, but it's very relatable. One of our listeners, who's a religious guy, But he said, last segment may have been y'all's funniest one of the year. On my way to an early sales call, and I can barely keep the truck on the road. I'm laughing so hard.
Good. Yeah. That's what we're here for, man. Put a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Get you ready for the weekend in sports, and at the same time, put a smile on
and
your
also,
face.
And also teach you how not to get caught the way some of these people have been
Nothing
caught.
Like laughing at the expense of people who have had relationships plundered and ruined.
Whose entire lives have been destroyed.
Some of these are really sad.
But who are offering them up to us?
They are.
Well, if anybody's texting it into us and knowing, like they've gotten past it to a certain degree.
I would think so.
I've been married to my high school sweetheart for 31 years. He does not do social media because too much business is shared. Mm. Oh, I thought this was part of another one. That's actually a nice story from LaTanya.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't have a job. Both
we'll get that out of here.
And some of these, honestly, I'm starting to read some of these, and I can't because some of them are just dirty stories about the times they cheated.
Yeah,
not actually getting caught.
Some of them are just dirty stories about getting caught having sex with their actual girlfriend or wife.
Frankly, I'm getting a little bit warm reading some of these stories.
I know. Stay over there on that side of the table.
Oh my
gosh,
Sean, finish the show. I've got to take my laptop places.
Jonesy, get ready to do some radio with me. All right, we'll circle back to some of these texts, but it's an appropriate segue, right? The relationships are about trust. So we, during the playoffs with the Astros, we comprised and constructed something called the Astros Circle of Trust, where after each game we would go through, and it was a fluid situation, where just the question was, how do we feel about our expectations of this person doing what they are expected to do at an excellent level. And so it doesn't mean that a role player has to perform like an all-star. We just need to know that our role players are going to perform as the best possible role player. Now, our all-star players need to be out there performing as the best possible all-star, or we need to trust that if they haven't been doing it, it's just a matter of time before they turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
Health is a factor, too, and I think especially here when we construct the Texans Circle of Trust, and it's football, and there's hamstrings, we really need to factor that in.
Oh.
So Jonesy, let's do it.
When it comes to our favorite players, it comes down to one question. Can we trust you?
See, if I can't trust you, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle.
Who's in? Who's out? It's the Payne and Pendergast Texans Circle of Trust.
All right, we'll start with the easy one, Seth.
Okay.
Okay, I got the positions listed here.
Quarterback?
Quarterback's easy.
I trust Deshaun.
Deshaun Watson is in the circle of
trust. As backup quarterbacks go, do you trust AJ McCarron? I don't feel that we've learned enough about him to trust him as a backup.
No, yet. And in the circle of trust, we default to distrust until we have a reason to trust
him. Okay, so I wouldn't trust him as a starting quarterback, obviously, but I can't really trust him as a backup unless I see him in that action.
That's right. Running back. I think there's only two running backs that we're really talking about here. Carlos Hyde. And Duke Johnson.
Yep. Carlos Hyde. There's
as we vote on this,
yes,
Seth and I both vote on it. If we are split on this, it's up to Jonesy to break the tie. So just so people know how this works. And if you want to weigh in on the text page, 713-572-4610.
Now, it's not a bad thing if you're not in the circle of trust necessarily. It's a circle of trust is an honor.
It's an honor.
This is, hey.
And especially with a 53-man roster, we're going to be a little harder than we were, I think, even on the Astros.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to say? And this is where I honestly, my first inclination was that I didn't want to put Carlos Hyde in the circle of trust. But can I tell you the number of times that he's averaged less than 4 yards per carry this season?
In a game?
In a game is only three. There have only been three games where he's averaged less than 4 yards per carry. He's been pretty damn consistent. In some of those times, I'll blame Bill O'Brien more for sticking to the run in games where the defense is just selling out to stop the run. So, yeah, Carlos Hyde is in my circle of trust.
He's not for me, and here's why. He's put the ball on the ground a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's fumbled a bunch of times this year. So that's why, for me, he's not. So we need Jonesy to break the tie on that.
Oh, and I was wrong. There was actually four times he was less than
He's
four.
Outside the circle of trust.
Okay. Outside the circle
of
trust.
I'm not going to fight you on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Duke Johnson, tricky because I trust Duke Johnson.
Yeah.
I haven't trusted the coaches to use him properly until this last week.
Yeah, that's not his fault.
That's not his fault. Yeah. So I still trust Duke Johnson.
I do too. Okay. He's in for me. Duke Johnson is absolutely in the circle of trust for me.
And I should say over these last few weeks, they've increasingly gone to Duke Johnson.
He touched it 14 times in the Patriot game. If that's what we're going to see from Duke Johnson, I am in for that.
Give me some of that.
Give me some slot receiver action
while you're at it.
Duke Johnson touching the football 14 times.
You can scroll through my iPhone photos anytime, Duke. I don't care.
Right.
I trust you, baby.
All right. DeAndre Hopkins is an obvious one, right? DeAndre Hopkins in.
Yeah, it's too many drops early in the season. He's out. That Saints game is still weighing
still heavily. Still fresh in your mind?
Yeah. Will Fuller, I'd love to, but sorry.
No.
I can't.
I feel like he's the definition of a good player who has a specific reason why he's outside the circle of trust and might not be able to be trusted maybe ever.
Until he stays healthy for two years.
It's fully health. What about Kenny Stills?
I'm not going to just because he's not one of your top two guys.
Okay.
Although, well, you could say he is based on health and production.
And is he filling his role to the... I mean, Jake Mariznick was in the circle of trust for the Astros. You know what I mean?
All right, well, then I got to put Stills in the circle of trust.
I think he is for me, too. And Seth, he's been really reliable in specific situations.
Yeah.
Third down, big catches down the field. He caught the touchdown in the Saints game. He caught the touchdown in the Patriots game. All right,
what about health for Kenny Stills?
He missed a couple games with a hammy.
Yeah.
He's the third receiver on this team.
It was weeks 5 and 6. Yeah. He's been pretty durable. Yeah, he's in the circle of trust.
Stills is in for what he is.
Also, when he has been questioned about his various off-the-field motivations and drives, he's actually been he's handled that very deftly.
Yes.
Very aware young guy.
I'm a big Kenny Stills fan. All right, the tight end position. By the way, tight end position, did you see Jordan Akins on the injury report yesterday?
I did.
Yeah. Limited with a knee.
Yeah.
I don't like when guys pop up in the middle of the week on the injury report.
Right.
That tells me it's actually something.
I feel like that's a banged knee or something in practice. I don't know. I base that on nothing other than that I want that to be true. For me, this will be simple. Darren Fell's the only one I truly trust amongst the tight ends.
Same.
Akins is getting there, but he's very raw, especially when it comes to the blocking side of things. Sometimes with the route running, he's just not there yet the way Darren Fell's is.
All right, this will be an interesting position group. Offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, there would have been nobody in there.
I think early in the season, I would have struggled to put a lot of these guys on there.
Yes.
Early in the season, they were making some of the mistakes that used to drive me crazy, messing up blitz protection, blitz pickup, some simple stunts among defensive linemen. They got a lot better at it. They've had glitches here, but on the whole, I have to be pretty happy with the whole offensive line. Let's see.
I think there's only four names that are up for debate.
You're going to leave? Okay.
Because Titus Howard, by definition, can't be in. He's injured.
Okay.
And I'm not putting any of the backups in.
Is Chris Clark in your circle
of trust? He's not in my circle of trust at all.
Yeah. I mean, he could not be a backup if Roderick Johnson gets injured.
That's true.
So Roderick Johnson not in your circle of trust?
No, only because that is one where I go, I don't think the coaches trust him, so I have a hard time trusting him. So the names are obvious then. Tunsil, Sharping, Nick Martin, Zach Fulton.
I'll tell you 100% honestly, the penalties are driving me so crazy, so madly insane, that I'm not sure I can put Tunsil in the circle of trust.
He was traded for 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
And he missed the game with a shoulder injury.
Can I both be simultaneously pleased with what he's done for the offensive line, but so infuriated by the penalties at times?
Yes.
That I can't put him in the circle of trust?
That's what the circle of trust is all about. You need to be performing at or above. You need to be trusted to perform at or above the expectation level.
I don't trust anybody on the offensive line that when they get down in the red zone isn't going to jump off sides.
Yeah.
That's where I am right now, or have a really bad penalty.
Interesting. So nobody in the circle, nobody on the offensive line?
Sharping might be. But I'd say no, they haven't earned that yet. I got to see cleaner games more consistently.
You know what, Seth? I'm going to go with you on this one.
You know, and they haven't been running the ball as... They haven't the driving force behind the rushing offense hasn't been the offensive line. It's been more the Deshaun Watson effect.
I think it's appropriate not to have anybody in the offensive line in the circle of trust yet.
Okay.
I'm with you on that. All right, defensive line. Now J.J. Watt is not in the circle of trust because he's not healthy right now. We love J.J. Watt, and when he's healthy, he'll be in the circle of trust. But these are guys who are going to play in the game on Sunday this week.
Yeah. Let me tell you something about this defensive line. Exact opposite of the offensive line.
Mm.
These are salt of the earth types. These are guys that would rather stab a hobo than commit a penalty.
For those new to Houston, what position did you play for the Texans?
Defensive line.
Okay.
And frankly, these guys are all in the circle of trust.
I know you're being semi-jokey.
I would say, honestly, though, in terms of... Honestly, I do want to put them all in the circle of trust. I really like all these guys.
No, again,
I genuinely like all these guys.
Let's think about what they're asked to do. These are not guys who are being asked to be Aaron Donald. These are guys who are being asked to be solid in their run game.
I love them.
Solid in their gap management. If you're DJ Reader, being asked to make the occasional collapsing of the pocket.
You know who these guys are?
Who?
They're the guys that show up to their job at the Iron Forge for 40 years and never miss a day.
One might call them a lunch pail crew.
Yeah, they are. They're wearing hard hats and everything. But we have to make this performance-based as well. So unfortunately, I'll put DJ Reader in the circle of trust.
Brandon Dunn.
I want to really, really put him in the circle of trust. Yeah, I'll put Brandon Dunn in the circle of trust.
I'm putting Brandon Dunn in the circle of trust. All right, Angelo Blackson.
They don't have to be elite Pro Bowl caliber players.
They don't.
Just like you said, Jake Mariznick was in the circle of
trust. That's right.
Angelo Blackson, I'll put in the circle of trust
Blackson.
As well.
All right. I'm gonna
now,
with
Menihu,
I'm
I'll
deferring
leave,
to you on defensive line.
Menihu, I'm going to leave out just because he's still a rookie.
Yes.
I got to keep him hungry, okay?
I really
like Menihu. The more I get to know him, and the more I watch him and I watch him develop, I really, really like him.
Yeah.
But I got to keep him hungry.
He could be, like, if this were bracketology, he could be, like, one of the last four out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing. All right, linebacker. Whitney Mercilus.
Oh, this is painful.
I love Whitney Mercilus. Is he in the circle of trust?
Because he's consistently there. His pass rush hasn't been what we'd like it to be.
No.
I
think he was overachieving at the beginning of the year. If you're telling me about expectations for Whitney Mercilus, he was way overachieving expectations on the balance for what he is. He's a guy who, if he draws double teams, he's sunk. But he's a guy who will, you know, win his fair share of one-on-one. He's very solid in the run game.
Yeah.
For what he is, I'm going to say Whitney Mercilus in the circle of trust. Plus, he's a leader on this defense, too.
And his versatility, even though I know we're not supposed to use the V word anymore. I can't remember if that was a Landry.
It was a Landry thing.
But I really do like his versatility. Whitney Mercilus is the kind of player, kind of like Connor Barwin was, where you don't realize how much he does for your defense until he's gone. And all of a sudden, we're not as versatile as we used to be. We can't do as many things because you don't have a guy like Whitney Mercilus or Connor Barwin.
The two inside backers, Zach Cunningham, Bernardrick McKinney.
I will put both of them in the circle of trust. Zach Cunningham, it
sounds like one of them might be on notice.
Well, Zach Cunningham, you know, it's a matter of consistency. Part of it is his body frame. He's never going to be a guy like Bernardrick necessarily in terms of being a physical presence up the middle, but he does run sideline to sideline to make plays. He's not as consistent a tackler as I'd like, but he also puts himself in position to make more tackles.
Yep.
So I actually thought, this is the one guy I thought about for a while before this segment, trying to figure out where, just based on overall production and his speed, he still has improving to do, but he's also one of my favorite young things on this defense. So, yes, I'll put him in the circle of trust.
Jacob Martin.
Not yet. He's just not a complete enough player.
Okay.
But he's kind of like a Menihu. I very, very, very much like what I've seen so far. And I think the thing with Martin is he sometimes gets swallowed up, like, by his size. And it's one thing if you don't win. Like, there's going to be times if you're a fast guy, you might not win because of your size, but don't get swallowed up because I still need you to pursue if the quarterback gets flushed or if it turns into a draw or something. So he's not quite there, but I really, really like what I've
seen. Sounds like the Circle of Trust committee, when we do this next time, is going to have serious conversations about Menihu and Jacob Martin.
Yeah, there's
and the offensive line.
That's true. They're like
they're on the cusp.
They'd be ranked 26th in the AP right now.
There you go. They're also receiving votes.
They've received votes, yeah.
All right, the secondary is an interesting one. Safeties.
I don't like this game anymore.
Why?
Because I'm thinking about Jonathan Joseph already. And I don't lie. I hate this game. It's a stupid game that I texted you we should play yesterday. I texted you 20 hours ago and said, hey, we should do Circle of Trust.
Yeah.
And now we're rapidly approaching Jonathan Joseph. And I'm like, stop.
Well, let's do what I feel like guys like you and I normally do, Seth, and put off Jonathan Joseph as long as possible. Safeties. Justin Reed.
I'm going to go pull a fire alarm. Justin Reed, circle of trust.
Okay. Tashaun Gibson.
Tashaun Gibson, I would not have actually put him in until yet. I was so excited last week about some of the plays he made, weaving his way through traffic like a slalom skier to make plays in the backfield in the run game. Circle of trust.
I'm still worried about him physically.
Okay.
I'm
going
to say no. So Jonesy, we need another Jonesy tiebreaker.
He's in my circle of trust.
Okay, Gibson is in thanks to a Jonesy vote.
Tell you, if there's one thing I've noticed, I am heavily biased towards the defense here. I don't think I've left anybody out other than guys that are actually backups.
No, well, yeah, we've got eight guys in so far, and we haven't gotten to the cornerback position. Yeah. A lot of trusting guys for the one that's for a defense that's like 23rd in DVOA.
I know.
I love the recency of the circle of trust. That's my favorite part. All right, we got to rapid fire these cornerbacks, Seth.
All right,
Bradley Roby. I say no because of the hamstring right now. Gerrion Conley, no, because of the hip.
No, yeah.
Vernon Hargraves.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. Okay. Jonathan Joseph.
No.
He's not in your circle of trust.
Yes, he is.
He is?
Oh, well, I gotta think of my criteria.
Okay, let's think what what's the expectation for Jonathan Joseph?
Okay, you're right. All right, I gotta remember the Jake Mariznick effect. Okay.
What's the expectation?
Oh, okay,
third corner?
Okay, good. I'm glad. You freed me. Look, he's not going to be up and like be press man all the time versus stud receivers. He's going to be off. He doesn't have the catch-up speed he used to, but he's going to play smart. He's going to anticipate routes. And as he did last week, he's going to come up and make some big plays.
Yep.
So for what the expectations are, for, mind you, a 35-year-old cornerback, then yes, Jonathan Joseph is in the circle of trust. He's also in the babysitting circle of trust. He's in the, hey, take my sister out and show her a good time because she's visiting for the weekend and I'm not going to be there. That circle of trust, like I would trust him with anybody. Anybody and everything.
I asked Rack yesterday about how important it is having someone like Jonathan Joseph in that cornerback room because of all these new guys they're bringing in. He said, I think we have the audio for it. Maybe we'll play it in the next segment, but he basically just said, sometimes they listen to him more than they listen to me. So Joseph in. All right.
That last reference I might have sounded a little bit weird. I was just thinking back to when I was in college.
Yeah.
One of my friends, his sister was visiting, and he had to go do something. So he said, Seth, he came up to me. He's like, Seth, you're the only guy I would ask you to do this because I trust you. Can you take, she wants to go out, she's visiting, can you take her out to this party tonight because I trust you? And he said that like three times. And his sister was awesome too. Yeah. Like she was really pretty and like really awesome and everything. And I think she liked me. And I was like the biggest.
You're handcuffed.
No, and plus I was so stiff the entire night. No, not, you know what I mean.
No,
I was like,
that's not what I was thinking.
I was so like just uptight.
Do I have a Blue Chew spot coming up?
I was so uptight and nervous the entire night that I think by the end of the night she didn't like me anyway.
Right.
Because I was so determined not to let my friend down. I feel like Jonathan Joseph would be like
that. Yeah. Just because specialists are people too. I have weeks and anger, yes. Fairbairn, no.
Oh, for specialists. Weeks and Fairbairn, yeah. Wait, who?
Weeks and anger, yes.
Yes.
Fairbairn, no.
Okay, I'll take that.
All right, there we go. All right, we will post this on Twitter. There are, looks like about 15 guys of the 53-man roster.
Anger had those holding issues early on. Screw that. So just weeks.
Out,
yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
Just weeks. All right. There you go. You're out, anger. I thought anger in. Jonesy, anger out or anger in?
Anger out.
Anger out. Okay, there you go.
Jonesy's very tough. Right. Jonesy's so disgusted with how many people I allowed in on defense.
I know. It's great. All right, your thoughts, 713-572-4610, text in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.